You know, the cattle business is it's a rough business. I think I know the stock market, but that commodity business just blows me away. For example, when COVID-19 hit and all of the restaurants closed up, I said, well, great. You know, as a consumer, I'm going to have access to some beef that normally just goes to fancy restaurants. But nope, turns out there's a shortage of the stuff. Jordan Beeman's fifth-generation cattle business and is the president of Heartland Beef in Flatonia, Texas, and sells some of the, I'm told, some of the best beef that's out there. And he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I'm looking at your customer list. Todd David, Cadillac Barbecue, talks wonderful things about you, and Pappas Brothers, and Breadwinners, and Knife, and you've got them all over the state. So why can't I get a deal? Why is the market not just flooded with beef that otherwise would be going to high-end restaurants?
Yeah, so on the beef market in general, what's been really interesting is just being able to have the plants up and running with the whole current crisis that we've been going through, with whatever reason it might be. The people in the plants have
not been
there.
So the meatpacking plants.
That's correct. Yes,
because
sir,
because that's right. And conspicuously in Amarillo, I know the Tyson plant came down with a lot
big,
of people.
Big time. Yeah. So take that plant for an example. They normally process an average of about 5,000 head a day. I heard there was a couple of days they didn't even run. But when they were running, they were able to get about 1,000 head. They've been able to get higher than that here recently, maybe kind of last week, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 head a day. But just if you look at our industry and consider it like an hourglass, the entire cattle and beef industry. So on the top would be cow-calf producers. It would be pretty wide up there on the top. And then it would start getting narrower once you get to the backgrounders, the people who accumulate all the calves, and then even get narrower once you get to the feedlots. And then at the narrowest spot would be where the packers are. There's four packers that control about 80% of the processing of the slaughter capacity in the United States. And then from there, it would widen back out again until you get to where you get the meat distributors, the retailers, and then at its widest point, you would get to all the different restaurants.
The way I understand it, so a cut steak, to me, the price is really going to be high because there's not much. But by the same token, that must mean there are a lot of cows that are not going through meatpacking plants. And so the price of cattle must be going down. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So while there's not a whole lot of meat, there is quite a bit of cattle. So we don't have a cattle shortage in this country. We have a meat shortage. We have a shortage of people being able to turn live cattle into boxed beef. So when it first happened, the market did go down some, but it's recovered nicely. And I think the beef packers have done a pretty good job trying to keep that market high and trying to treat the feedlots and the cattle owners pretty fairly. But there was for about a 4 or 5 week period there to where that market was suppressed. But now our markets are back up to about pretty close to pre-COVID. It could be just less than 5% off of what it was pre-COVID. So we've been really fortunate to get that market back up.
Well, I would guess that Heart Brand ought to be an asterisk by your name, because I mean, you've got a specialized product. You've got this sort of rare Wagyu beef. Is it a Kushi?
Yeah, we say Akaushi.
Akaushi.
Yes, sir. Akaushi, AKAUSHI. And it's a specific type of Wagyu beef, where Wagyu beef means Japanese cattle. There's multiple different kinds of Japanese cattle. And our specifically is called Akaushi.
And you're you have the largest herd of Akaushi in the United States?
Yes, sir. The Akaushi cattle have the ability to marble, unlike any other animal that I've ever seen. So they take the fat and they put it inside of the animal, which is called marbling, or intermuscular fat. So they're genetically designed to do that. And that's something that the Japanese government really did, not necessarily us. So the first cattle came over in 1994. We got acquainted with them in 1998. And my family's been in the meat business, my entire life, and the cattle business for five generations, and we've just never seen anything quite like it. Just a breed of cattle that's able to put on marbling without putting exterior fat. And when they've been able to do that, they've been able to add more marbling, which adds more flavor and more tenderness.
So how do you pay a licensing fee? Now, you're breeding these cattle in Flatonia, right?
That's right. Yes, sir.
But do you pay a royalty fee or something? Or did you just buy cattle and make your own herd?
That's right. Yeah. So we So we didn't bring them over, but a different group of Texas businessmen brought over a small nucleus of Akushi cattle in 1994, purchased them. And that's the original, that's the herd we're working off of today, the group that came over in 1994.
Wow. So tell me about the demand right now. We've got restaurants. Of course, I don't know. You know, we because of all the civil unrest over the weekend, I think there were some tough times and restaurants that closed back down. But we've got a lot of them that are operating at 50% right now. So, is the demand coming back up for the beef?
Yeah. So it had been coming up, and kind of it's interesting what you say. Kind of over the weekend, demand's actually taken a little downturn just today. You know, so what's really crazy is right now we're just on a wave or on a roller coaster to how this whole, since we've had the kind of COVID crisis, when there was the original rush on the grocery stores and when everybody filled up the grocery stores and the restaurants shut down, we had way more beef than we knew what to do with. And then when we had the issues with the packing plants and there was a shortage of beef, and that was coupled with the restaurants were starting to kind of open back up. But right now, I think if we go about a week out from now or 2 weeks out from now, I think we'll be pretty close to back on normal with beef supply and beef demand. The plants are getting back online. I think demand is, you know, people aren't running to the grocery store and scared that they're not going to be able to buy beef anymore, because we're going to be able to buy beef. There's no doubt in my mind that when someone goes to the grocery store, they're going to have beef. They might not have the exact cut they're looking for or the exact marbling spec they're looking for, but there's not going to be a shortage of beef. It's not like all the plants shut down. At the worst, they shut down to 60% capacity, or we went down to 60%. And today we're probably back up to 80% capacity. So we're going to have plenty of beef on the shelves.
But you're selling primarily to restaurants, right?
Well, pre-COVID, we were primarily to restaurants. But fortunately, we have a pretty good background in the meat business, and even my dad's been in even longer than I have. So we used to be about 60% restaurants and 40% other, which was retail, export, and direct to consumer. But now we've probably gone about 60% retail and maybe 10% direct to consumer.
You think you're going to stay that? You think you'll stay that way?
I think the restaurants will still creep back up. It's because the restaurants are really the ones who are designed for our products. They're the ones that buy the highest end products. They're the ones that buy some of the specialty cuts that are really mainly sold at restaurants. Things like outside skirts, hanging tenders, terrace majors. There's just so many cuts off of each individual animal that that the grocery stores don't merchandise as well as a restaurant can.
Have you lost any restaurants yet? You know, we keep hearing that some of the greatest casualties in that business are going to be the high end restaurants, because they don't have that many table turns a night, and you know, they don't make money with the spacing, that they're going to, right, they'll be some of the biggest casualties.
Yeah. So we've heard some of that. Fortunately, we haven't lost any that we have direct contact with. We mainly sell to distributors, both big box distributors and specialty meat distributors. So those are the ones who would hear it first, and then it would come kind of flow down to us. But we haven't heard or seen of any yet.
So where are you retailing? I've seen your online site, and we have a list of a lot of the restaurants that you supply around the state. Anyway, where are you retailing, in grocery stores? Or?
Yeah. So it's real spotty though. We don't have like a massive retailer that carries us across the state. But there in Dallas, we sell to Deep Cuts. So Deep Cuts has our product. There's a really nice market called Horseshoe Bay. There's a really nice market in Horseshoe Bay called Bayside Market that does a whole lot with our products. In Houston, we sell to quite a few Krogers. So we're in about 10 different Kroger stores in Houston, and then also Texas Star Grill. And then in San Antonio, we're in quite a few specialty meat markets.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you made a quick pivot, and we hope the restaurants get back rolling again, because it's always fun to sit down and have a good steak and a bottle of wine.
For sure.
We wish. So do you ever eat fried chicken by any chance?
No, so I do like chicken. I really like fried chicken, and we'll barbecue chicken. Yeah, so we definitely eat things other than beef. People ask me, how often do you eat beef? And my first thought is, well, not too much. But to me, it's just normal to eat beef once or twice a day. So I still eat a lot of beef, but I still enjoy some chicken and some really good fish, maybe some red snapper, yeah, or some red fish. Enjoy that stuff.
I understand. I'm a native Texan myself. Jordan Beavins, the president of Heart Brand Beef. It's good to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for more of our conversation with Mr. Beavins. Go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.